we're putting in $400,000. And by the end of the first year, we have over 90% liquidity available to us in the policy, which is kind of insane. Think of it this way. If you could find a vending machine where you put in a dollar and then that dollar came back to you with a quarter attached to it, you'd probably spend a lot of time in front of that machine, right?
They should look at this and say, how in the world does these insurance companies allow this? And they're on the hook for a $6.7 million death benefit. So what I find is there's pretty much 93% first year liquidity, which is unreal.
The insurance company effectively is just playing the long game because that's what they're best at. That's why they've been around for over a century being profitable. Well, we use Lafayette Life for a couple of different reasons. One of the things that we really like about Lafayette Life is this high degree of cash value. And I have $373,000 cash value.
Yeah. It should be no shocker that Lafayette Life is the company that we look to. Hey guys, it's Caleb Williams. All right, we're talking everything Lafayette Life, front loads. Alden, you survived your very first YouTube video. You were a smashing success. Lots of people wanted to hear about Lafayette Life Insurance Company. We're dragging you back into the coaching corner. Welcome back, my friend.
Amazing. I'm going for Insta famous. If you could help me with that, I'd appreciate it, but I'm glad to be here.
What was your biggest takeaway being shooting your first YouTube video, seeing the comments? Were you like overall humbled? Was it like were you nervous? Like you didn't look nervous at all, but like, what was your initial thoughts?
No, I've been doing speaking for a while. I wasn't nervous per se. I was just interested to see, because I'm used to being able to react to people in real time to explain based on how someone seems to be perceiving the information I'm giving. So that was different. Obviously I'm looking at you the whole time and you know this stuff. So that was a little bit different, but ultimately reading through the comments, very, very encouraging. I've had a handful of people come through my calendar last 2 weeks that are like, oh my gosh, Alden, you did great. I'm so excited to be talking with you. So, you know, you make me feel and look good. So thanks, Caleb. I appreciate that.
And in today's video, we're going to be talking about life insurance. We're going to be talking about front loads. We're going to be talking about Lafayette Life Insurance Company. And I just want you to note that this is for educational purposes only. And we are in a series right now with Alden, because you are our product specialist, where we're going to go through all different companies that we work with, and maybe some companies that we don't work with, and show, you know, this is the reason, this is the company where it shines, these are the pros and cons, and we just want to be as objective as possible. If anyone tells you this company is the best for everything, it's probably a pretty immature statement, and we know that not every company is great across the board, and so we want to be as authentic as possible in that journey. And so I'll kind of hand it over to you, and when I say Lafayette Life, what do you love about this company? Maybe what are some of the things that you dislike, and why are we speaking about this number secondly, and how
Amazing. Well, we use Lafayette Life for a couple of different reasons. Now, financially based, they're a very strong financially backed company. They're backed by Western Southern, they're a mutual holding company, really, really strong financials. So out of the gate, they're hitting a lot of the boxes we already check. Been around for over a century as well. So then becomes a question like, okay, why would we take a client here instead of Penn Mutual, like we were talking about in the last video? And the big thing comes down to design. So if we're going to be doing a strategy where we're putting in the same dollar amount every year for an extended period of time, efficiency-wise, Penn Mutual is likely one of the best places to put that policy. Now, as Caleb mentioned, we're going to look at some other carriers as well. But Lafayette Life really, really excels at the ability to do a front load. That front load term just means a higher amount of premium in the very first year, and then drastically decreasing it the second year moving forward. This gives us high early cash value, a large degree of liquidity in the very first year without having to sustain an excess cost in the policy long term. And we'll kind of dive into the nuances, but that's the biggest delineating factor versus this company versus another one.
When I first started in this space, there wasn't actually almost anybody talking about front loans. I'm sure people were doing it, but I didn't really, like, I kind of accidentally stumbled upon this. And my mind was blown, because one of the biggest problems I had with life insurance is like, it, you know, the first year there wasn't a ton of cash value. And this is kind of back in the day when I didn't know how to optimally design these policies like super, super good. And when I learned about the front load, I was like, you can get that much liquidity early on. And then what I loved is if people were sitting on money, they could front load, but they didn't have to like be on the hook long term for that big chunk of money. So it was like, it was kind of like incredible for people that were sitting on money or like investors that like saw the benefit of life insurance, but didn't want to be on the hook for big premiums ongoing, which that's the pro. But the con, because there's cons to any design, is usually there's some type of internal rate of return trade-off. Meaning in other companies, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but in other companies, you could get maybe a higher internal rate of return if you didn't front load. And then the other thing that we'll probably look at is there's a term insurance rider that we need to get. And when that drops off, the death benefit in the future drops pretty significantly. And we have certain people that just dislike that. Like they see the benefit of permanent life insurance. And so those are like the two cons. And the last thing that I'll say to kind of counter the cons is you can say that the internal rate of return might be smaller in a front load, but you're starting off with so much more money. So you could make the argument that, yeah, the internal rate of return is smaller, but instead of starting with a, you know, $50,000 example, you could start with such a greater volume that, yes, it's a little bit less efficient, but overall, looking at your portfolio, it's more efficient for you doing that than like funding a policy over time. I don't know if that makes any sense, but wanted to just get your initial thoughts before we jump into the numbers.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. And to your point, we're going to do a later video on the And Asset channel with Dom going over three different types of term riders, because really those three. And what Caleb's alluding to is that Lafayette Life uses a level term rider. So that means it's a pure cost rider. And at some point that rider, just like a term insurance policy, disappears. And when that happens, we're going to see a drop in the death benefit. Now, there's other three types. There's reasons to have those. There's reasons they may excel in other areas. But since we're talking about Lafayette Life, let's dive into the numbers and see what we're talking about and ultimately dialogue through why this may make sense for somebody.
Yeah. And one last thing, the reason we use term rider in this example is if we didn't, it would mech. It would become a modified endowment contract. And so we use a term rider to artificially bump up the death benefit so that we can stuff in so much cash. And it's actually still the most efficient from a cash perspective. So it's still a quote unquote pure cost, but it's a pure cost that gives you insurance. So there is a benefit to that, but it ultimately helps with the cash value buildup and makes everything when set up and used properly tax-free. And so with that, let's jump in. Just so you know, we're going to show two examples. Alden came to the meeting with a $400,000 example, which is amazing, with $50,000 going in after. And I said, hey, Alden, let's use another example at the end of this video to show maybe you don't have 400,000, maybe you have a smaller number. Let's show you a smaller number as well. But Alden, you can speak to this. We're just talking ratios. Yeah. So you could put $4 million in, or you could put $40,000 in, and there might be pros and cons to that, but it's not like, this is not just a one size fits all. So with that, let's dive in.
Amazing. So as Caleb said, got a little bit of an awakening when he said, hey, this is a really large policy. So we've got clients on all ends of the spectrum. This is a decent sized policy. We're going to look at another one as well. But one of the things that we really like about Lafayette Life is this high degree of cash value. Now, to be fair, to make sure we're speaking the same numbers here, far right-hand column is using dividends, right? And you've been on the channel long enough to understand those are not guaranteed, but strongly assumed. Secondarily, this is an end of year value. So oftentimes we get people saying, hey, I put in $400,000 and I have $373,000 cash value. Not right away, right? This is adding in an extra dividend payment that comes in and gets you more value at the end of the year. So we can say in that very first year, we're putting in $400,000. And by the end of the first year, we have over 90% liquidity available to us in the policy, which is kind of insane. And second year moving forward, I dropped that premium down pretty significantly. Now we're looking at that $50,000 a year premium. And here's one of the things I really like about this carrier in the way that we can front load. Think of it this way. If you could find a vending machine where you put in a dollar and then that dollar came back to you with a quarter attached to it, you'd probably spend a lot of time in front of that machine, right? In this policy, we have a similar concept happening. So because you front loaded the policy with so much cash, now you've got $50,000 going into the policy. But in that year, you have an increase of $55,000. Same thing year three, 50 in, 58,000. And that continues to happen and move forward in the policy. So we're effectively creating this hyper-efficient machine very quickly for the dollars that you're putting into it.
I love it. And part of the people that really understand the strategy, they should look at this and say, how in the world does these insurance companies allow this? I mean, I'm playing totally devil's advocate to the people that say life insurance is a scam, but think about this. You're putting $400,000 into a company. You have access by end of year one, over 90% of that to be able to use on whatever you want. And they're on the hook for a $6.7 million death benefit. That's like real to their balance sheet. Like if something happens to this person, they're on the hook for a $6 million death benefit. And we talk riders and chronic illness rider. Those benefits are tied to this policy as well. And so it's just one of those things where, again, when we're not like selling this as an investment, which we're not, this is a place to storehouse cash. If you can have a medium to long-term mindset to this, it's a phenomenal place.
Absolutely. And again, we have to understand we're using a couple of assumptions here, not just the dividend, but in the top left-hand corner, you'll see this is a 40-year-old male preferred non-tobacco. I should have mentioned that at the beginning. So effectively, to Caleb's point, the insurance company is banking on this 40-year-old being able to be around for a long period of time to pay them premium. That's how they win. That's how they make money. I had a mentor that told me that most insurance companies don't start making money on their policies that they've sold until year 7. And so we're like, okay, wow, the way that we're building them, we're giving you so much value initially that the insurance company effectively is just playing the long game because that's what they're best at. That's why they've been around for over a century being profitable. So we mentioned briefly about the level term rider, right? And anybody who's paying attention and look at these numbers in detail as we've been chatting, you'll notice that after 10 years, two things happen. One, your premium now decreases. Two, your death benefit drops off. Yeah. Now, if you've been watching the channel a while, you probably know why this is. But to be specific, we've been paying for 10 years of term insurance to do what Caleb mentioned earlier, which is to artificially inflate the death benefit for a period of time to get us outside the realm of having a modified endowment contract, of having a taxable contract. And so that death benefit from day one gives us the option to put in all of this extra cash in the very, very first year. If the death benefit's not high enough, that'll mech the contract. So after 10 years, we don't need the rider anymore in this scenario. Now, I can adjust this. I can make it a 15, 20, or 30-year rider. But in this context, we want high cash value. Perhaps the individual doesn't want additional death benefit or they've got outside coverage. Who knows? So we have that huge drop in death benefit. And to be completely transparent, as Caleb mentioned, this is a big factor in people looking at front loads. Now, we have other carriers that we can work with, and we're going to look at a couple of them later on, that can maintain the death benefit to a higher degree. But there are no deals in life insurance. And what I mean by that is every policy, like Caleb mentioned, there's a bit of a trade-off. If you're getting more of something, you're losing something else. And so with this policy, that drop-off is going to increase your efficiency because there's less of a drag of cost in the policy because you're not having to pay an additional $3,500. But the benefit for those 10 years where you did have to pay extra costs, it gave you that ability to put almost $500,000 in that very first year and give you a huge degree of liquidity. So if you're a business owner, if you're a pre-retiree, or even in retirement, just doing investing full-time, imagine taking a chunk of change, putting the life insurance where it's protected at the state level, lawsuits, creditors, and predators, and being able to leverage those dollars, using them at two places at once for the next decade. Well, most savvy or sophisticated investors can do that, and it can make up the cost of the term insurance very, very easily because they have such a large degree of liquidity early on in the policy. So I've said enough. Caleb, go ahead and pepper away. If you
a couple things I just want to mention. I appreciate what you're saying. So $50,000 going in from year 2 to 10, that obviously is just for illustrative purposes. What is the actual minimum premium that someone would have to pay to make like the base contribution?
Right there. So this is a combination of three things. One is the base cost of insurance. So we're buying a large degree of whole life insurance, right?
Yep.
We then add on this huge term insurance policy. And as we said before, the reason we're doing this is to get a lot of death benefit for a cheap cost to give you the ability to front load and put in that extra premium. So that's going to be a fixed cost as well. And then the third thing is there's a minimum rider requirement for the level premium paid up additions rider. So we got to put the extra 120. So in this policy, in the very first year, you're putting in 400,000 years. Two, moving forward, your minimum cost, at least through year 10, is going to be $26,000 and some change.
And if we go back to the policy, I point this out almost every time because I think it's important, is, okay, 26,000, but we have so much liquidity in year one that worst case scenario, then if we didn't leverage the policy to the brim, which we hope most people don't, you would easily have enough cash to land the plane after the first year. Like, that's what I love about front loads, is like, you front load this thing. We don't know what the next future is, but you have so much cash in there that you could easily land the plane using the cash value in the policy if you had to. Now, $50,000, not the max in this example. That's one another quote unquote benefit of Lafayette Life. There's flexibility to put more. You don't have to give us a number, but just know, like, is there flexibility to put more than 50,000, and how does that ratio usually work?
The short answer is yes. Now, there's a longer, more nuanced answer, as there is for everything, but effectively, if built properly, I can give the individual, or we can give the individual, the ability to fund between the minimum to a higher maximum than what's illustrated. So that could be 200,000. Awesome. It could be 80,000.
And the point is it's custom for each person. So it's like the more, this is kind of logical, but the more upside you give someone to be able to fund, you potentially are a trade-off of efficiency. And that's not across the board, but that's why we're making this, but we're not saying like, do this on your own. You can't. You have to work with a licensed professional, and we would love nothing more for you to reach out to our company and be able to like talk to a professional that can see where you're at and then figure out what companies you should work with. And then within the companies, there's a ton of nuances, as you can see, with different products and all. And I know that you have a different design of the $400,000 that we'll look at in a second, but I have a couple more questions. I'm always looking at IRR because I just find it interesting. So what I find is there's pretty much 93% first year liquidity, which is unreal in the world of whole life insurance. Like, that's amazing. Like, as far as I'm concerned, you essentially have dollar for dollar access after first year in whole life insurance. That's incredible. At year four, it almost breaks even. It's like 0.03% internal rate of return. So we're almost broke even at year four. And remember, you don't have to wait to you, like, break even only matters if you're going to cancel your policy. It does not, like, you can utilize your policy way before it's break even. It's a function of actual growth. Year five is technically when it breaks even. And in this policy at year 10, you have an internal rate of return of 2.26%. Year 15, it's a over 3%. And year 20, you have 3.41%. So for those of you that are following other companies, you know, there's some companies that we have that potentially could get into the fours. And so obviously from an internal rate of return perspective, this is not winning any awards. But again, the trade-off is you have earlier cash value, you have a ton of flexibility. And for someone like this, they're getting a lot of benefits and they value more liquidity versus just a rate of return. I don't know if there's anything that you want to add to that, but I just find IRR very interesting because it's one of those things that we can compare to different companies and with the trade-offs, even though all of this stuff is projections, none of it is guaranteed, but we are in the whole life insurance space with very conservative interest rates right now because these are not reflected in like the higher interest rates bump ups.
Yeah. And just to piggyback on the end of that, I think there's three things that I like to highlight to the clients that I work with at the company with regard to the policy. Now, if you look at any other whole life YouTuber out there who talks about whole life, break even, break even, break even. When is a break even? I think that's important. But there's two other things that I think are also important. So to Caleb's point, break even is between years four and five. You're about $500 short of breaking even in year four. You definitely get there in year five. Okay, amazing. Another one is going to be that vending machine effect that I talked about. When do you have a higher amount of cash value in the policy increased based on the dollars that you put in? So you put in 50, starting that second year, you've got the vending machine effect. You've got $55,000 of cash value, assuming that dividend. And then the third is, when can this policy effectively pay for itself? Now, we can do a lot of different things. We can do a reduced paid up. It's kind of like shrink wrapping the death benefit. But we get into some concerns if we're max funding a policy. If we shrink wrap it, we might mech the contract. And that's a whole other conversation. So what I say is, okay, when is the dividend large enough to where it can completely cover the policy if I needed it to for some reason? Starting in year six, you now have a higher degree of dividend than the policy requires. So technically, because you've prepaid or overpaid your premiums so much, putting in all that extra cash into cash value for paid up additions, your policy becomes effectively can become self-sustaining after the 6 year of funding. when I figured that out, when I was first learning about life insurance, that blew my tiny brain. Because I always heard whole life insurance, I'm going to fund it until the day I die, and I probably don't have any benefit other than, what gets passed on. Completely different monster here. And I think that those three things are really, really important.
I love it. Last thing I'll point out on this is in year 11, obviously the death benefit drops a lot. And this is, projecting like, hey, someone, all they care about is cash in this example. Obviously you have the option. You can continue to fund your term rider if that's important to you. So we're just trying to optimize for cash. But the death benefit does increase, and it increases a whole lot more than what you're paying per year in. So I think that's interesting to note. It goes from 2.3 million to 2.4 to, like, it increases quite a bit. And then you have this totally paid up at age 65. Is that just because you illustrated it that way, or could this person, if they wanted, because at age 65 you're putting in $46,342, and I'm seeing that, the increase, the cash value increase is 158. So going off of your example, why, if I'm putting in 46,000, and I'm why would I want that to stop? And if I could still get that, what if I'm putting in a dollar and getting more than a dollar, would I have the option after 65 to continue to pay if I understand this as a cash flow play, not an investment?
Yes. So what we've done in this illustration is I've done a reduced paid up. So at that point, no further premiums are due in the policy. The policy becomes self-sustaining. You'll notice the dividend takes a little bit of a hit there as well. Right, because now it's being effectively used to pay for the policy moving forward to maintain the growth. And in this last year of funding, to Caleb's point, 46 in, 158. Look at the very next there. It's zero and you get 120. So you've gotten to the point in the policy where it's going to continue to pay dividends. The cash value is still going to grow and you're still going to have a high degree of growth. So to answer your question, why would somebody stop funding? Just preference. Like, if you don't want to put $40,000 into a policy, don't. But from an efficiency perspective, you can continue to maintain that efficiency all the way through the end of the contract if you wanted to, because most whole life insurance policies are either pay to 100 products, pay to age 95, pay to age 90. There's a lot of different ones on the market, but whole life, oddly enough, it means something, right? The product is designed to be paid for a longer period of time. And so when you do that, more payments going in, especially if those payments contained paid up additions. Those paid up additions payments do two things that we talked about in the last video. They're going to increase your death benefit, which necessarily increases the cash value. And so the more times you can do that year after year after year, you're creating a compounding machine that over time continues just to continue to roll and take off, even beyond the point of you stop funding if you choose to do so.
That's great. Let's look at the next policy, same 400,000. I want to show the different nuances, and Alden, you do such a great job, and so you'll talk about some of the pros and cons of designing them differently. And again, this is just a reminder, if you want someone on our team to take a look at your current policies, like, we do a ton of policy reviews. If you want us to review your policy, or if you want to see, does this make sense? Or I like the concept of a front load. Does this make sense for me? There will be a link down below that you can schedule a time with someone on our team. And if you just want to learn more, we've set up this thing called the And Asset Vault, which is our video calculator, like all of our best content to share with you this data. And you can opt in there. And again, we're making these videos because we want to increase awareness. We ultimately know that there's nuances in every person, every age, every health rating, makes it not a clear cut. Like, just imagine if we had to do a video for every age, health rating per com. I mean, we would never, it'd be
I'd
impossible.
quit.
So that's why we take each person, and it's like a new opportunity to see the puzzle pieces. And I know that you love that side of the business.
One of the things that's cool with Lafayette Life is we technically have two paid up additions riders that we can put on any particular policy. This rider, we're putting in an extra $350,000 in the first year into a single premium paid up additions rider. So we can see that down here in the policy breakdown, right here. And so this rider is a kind of a one and done. You use it one time and it falls off the policy just to get extra cash in. So what if we instead use this rider? How does that change the policy? Can I put in an extra $350,000 into the policy here? The answer is yes. So let me show you and kind of how it affects things. Now, Lafayette Life is unique in quite a few ways. One of the ways that they're unique is that they allow us to have a large degree of money going into the paid-up additions rider. But if you don't maintain that overall efficiency, that's not the right word, excuse me, if you don't maintain that overall premium, they effectively remove the privilege. And so what I mean by that is this is the exact same policy design, but instead of, you'll notice there's no initial front load up here now. Now I'm just putting into the paid up additions rider that's already on the policy. Liquidity is still above 93%, same annual premium, but all of a sudden after year 10, I can still put in $50,000 a year. So what's happening, and this is where a coach comes in, is we are effectively using the same rider for the very first year, but Lafayette Life gives us a 7-year window in which they say, okay, for the first 7 years of the contract, you have the ability to fund up to whatever limit that we set. And in this example, it's effectively $375,000 in the first 7 years of extra premium. Holy crap, that's amazing. But year 8 moving forward, if you didn't exercise the option to put in those extra dollars, they take an average of what you did in the first 7 years and give you that as the new ceiling of the policy, the new maximum premium you can put into the paid-up additions rider. So the question I get a lot, Caleb, is, okay, why don't you build every single policy like this? There's a couple of reasons. One, every insurance contract has a certain amount of money at risk to the insurance company. So because this policy has a large degree of flexibility in that premium, and we know from our conversations so far that when we put in extra paid-up additions, we buy more death benefit, aka more risk to the insurance company, right? So if we build in the option to put in more paid-up additions, we now have this large amount of underwriting requirement, meaning you have to be able to qualify for $8.5 million of life insurance to do this policy. The same design we just looked at, that had a requirement of less than six. So there's a trade-off. Not everyone can qualify for something with this much flexibility because you have to show the insurance company that there's a reason for them to take on that much risk.
The other thing is the internal rate of return is pretty much the same long term, but it's slightly less efficient upfront versus the long term.
Slightly, yeah. The two riders have slightly different load fees. So because we're putting more into this rider, we have a higher load fee than the single premium paid up edition rider, and that affects a little bit of the long-term performance. Now, there's a couple other nuanced benefits, downsides and upsides, pros and cons, but I think that kind of gives you an example of one, customizable to the person, and two, coming in the door, this is why we ask questions about your income and your net worth and your age and your health. All those tell us what's possible, and then we reverse
Can
engineer it to fit your
you
needs.
go back to the ledger? Because I want to see the death benefit difference over time.
And Caleb, the only thing that's changing in this policy is now because I've had a large degree go into the paid up additions rider in the first 10 years, because we're going into all one rider instead of splitting into two, they now give me the ability to be able to pay up to 50 grand per year. Because remember, before
Got
that
it.
dropped to 46, right?
Got
Because we
it.
took out the term cost.
Yep.
So in this example, it's effectively the
And you're
same
saying even
policy.
though
We're
you
just
don't have
putting
an
money in different
initial
ways.
8 million plus, you need to get underwritten for more just because of the flexibility that this gives you versus the other one.
Exactly. And going back to the Penn Mutual policy design question, we looked at 50 grand across the board, three different builds. Each one of those, the more flexibility in the policy is going to equate to more or less risk for the insurance company.
Understood.
So we have to
Understood.
keep
Yeah,
that in mind
that's
as well.
great. Yeah, I think the beautiful thing is the nuances. And let's go to the $100,000 example because, again, comments that we get regularly is like, okay, I love that you're showing $1 million going in or $500,000 going in this example, $400,000 going in. But like, what if I don't have that much money? Question I have for you is, what is the smallest front load you would consider? Because there's certain wisdom in just saying, hey, if you like, let's just not do a front load. What's the smallest front load that you can consider? And then we're going to show $100,000 with $20,000 going in, and I'm going to ask you the same question. What's the actual minimum premium in the tw versus year in year two, and a couple other questions? But how would you answer that?
Yeah, so there's a couple of different ways to look at it. If somebody comes to me and they say, "Hey, I've got 30 grand I want to shove into a policy," and then they tell me like, "Oh, but I can only afford $3,000 a year," I probably can't even build that policy because your minimum cost of insurance is going to be more than $3,000 a year. So it's less about a dollar amount, and it's more about the ratio difference between the first year and the second year premium. So what we've told people for years is if you can't afford on an annual basis to be saving $10,000 to $20,000 a year, this strategy may not make sense for you because you don't have enough cash value growth to really use those dollars for anything else. And that's what we talk about, right?
Yep.
So I can't give you an exact dollar amount, but understanding the ratio difference between first and second is going to be a big factor.
Yep. All right. So going in, you can rate me and how I explain this. We're putting $100,000 in. You have $93,000 of cash value end of year, which is over 93% first year liquidity with a death benefit of $1.4 million, which is actually insanely low for putting $100,000 into life insurance. That just proves our point that this is optimized for cash. It looks like we're breaking even very close to year four into five. I mean, we're $1,000 off, it looks like. So in year five, we're technically breaking even. And then it looks like the term riders, $1,360 essentially. And that drops off after year 11 in this example. The death benefit drops and continues to grow after that. Anything I'm missing? And then what I would be curious about is in year two, if the person that put $100,000, what would their minimum payment be needed? You know, because we're showing $20,000, but I'm sure they could pay less than that if they needed.
Yeah, we'll scroll down and see the minimum in a moment. The thing I want to mention is this is your initial amount of whole life insurance. So we've got basically $2.3 million of term insurance added on. So what's happening by the 11th year, you've grown because of your extra premium dollars going toward paid up additions. You've grown from $100,000 to over $700,000 of death benefit. So that's the whole life that's growing there. Now for the minimum premium, that's what we're looking at. $6,500
$7,000 essentially. So this there's a world, and again, this is not this is for educational purposes only. I have to say that every time. But there's a world where you put $100,000 in and you need about $7,000 a year to keep this thing quote unquote alive in good standing, and you could there's a lot of different ways to do that. But what you're saying is if that's even a potential issue, front loads are not for you. Front loads not for if you gotta like actually look at the number and see it's like it's not for you. It's for you got a lot of cash, you're gonna front load this thing, and then the ongoing premium that you pay should not be an issue, but you should at least know the minimum, and then you should know how much you could put in addition if you wanted to overfund it even more after year two.
Absolutely. And it comes back to that vending machine effect. So you get that increase in dollar amount for the amount of money that you put in only if you're paying exactly as illustrated. So if we're exercising this option to, I can go from six all the way up to 20, I'm going to fund it seven every single year. None of the policy values are going to look remotely similar because you're taking less dollars into the policy. And I'll effectively just say this, front loads are a fantastic way to jumpstart a policy, but overfunding them is the goal and the key. If you underfund them, you're buying so much cost to justify the front load in the very first place. If you're not going to continue to overfund them, the internal rate of return is going to drop. But if we would look from Penn to Lafayette, which you may put that comparison, but long-term IRR with Penn got into the medium fours. We're not even breaking four with this policy because it's just, it's a different company, a different way of building a policy, but you get a lot of cash value early on. So definitely pros and cons here.
And again, I love that you said that, and we can kind of end on that note where it's like, there's no insurance deals. There's what's your situation? What's going to be optimal or better for you? And there's some people that love the front load concept, and there's some people that it's not the right fit for. And it should be no shocker that Lafayette Life is the company that we look to. There's other companies that we'll look to throughout the series that also does front loading. But what makes Lafayette Life's front load different than other carriers that you've seen when it comes to front loading policies?
The biggest difference is going to, so it's a deeper answer, but the type of term rider they're using allows us to artificially inflate the death benefit for a short fixed period of time. So that really helps. And then secondarily to that, when we build these policies, we have the ability with Lafayette Life to do a between 10 and 12 factor between base and term. So if you got $100,000 of base insurance, we can get you $1.2 million of term insurance. So that's a huge spread. There's other companies we work with that limit that to 5 or to 6 or 1-to-1 ratio. And there's a lot of different things that go into it, but those are two factors that are really helpful.
Well, Alden, I appreciate you coming on. I appreciate you showing the numbers. Our audience loves that. And so please let us know what companies we should do next. We're hearing lots of One America. We've heard some Guardian. And so I'm excited to dive into this. I'm also excited to dive into future case studies. So if you have questions about life insurance, if you have questions about just anything, quite frankly, you can put them in the comments. We read every single comment. We want to best serve you. And again, if you want to learn more about the And Asset, you can go. We have a link called the And Asset Vault. And if you want to talk to someone on our team about maybe your current situation, the policy that you may or may not have, or does this make sense, we would welcome you. We would welcome you to go down and schedule a time with someone on our team. Alden, any last words on your run?
No, sir, this was great. I appreciate the time and the opportunity. Look forward to talking to lots of people.
Thank you so much for listening to the Better Wealth Podcast. It would mean the world to me if you could hit subscribe, leave a review, and share this with the people that you know and love.